I couldn't. My body just wouldn't let me. Went home Wednesday night, stayed up all night, dry heaving, throwing up. Just couldn't do it. Just too hot. Just couldn't do it, you know? And I hate being that way. I don't like being that way. And Friday, I said, I'm going to stay all day over there. I'm going to prove a point to myself. I'm going to stay. And Brother Garrett Barnes, and you look better sitting there than your daddy does, by the way. I'm glad you moved. Man, I'm glad you moved him over, Brother Garrett. Man, you talking about being able to preach now. Son, I looked at that joker sitting on that corner for 12 years. I'm aggravating. But I was over there, and I needed something thrown in the scrap trailer, and I tried to throw it in there, and it about knocked me out, hit me in the head coming back. And Brother Garrett come over and got it and put it in there for me. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you this. And I said, okay. He said, it don't matter what you can do. Your presence was enough. Now, somebody needs to hear that. You think you got to do all this and all that you've always done. Your presence is just enough. But when you're not there, your presence is missed. That's right. Monday night. Was it Monday night or Tuesday? Monday night. Tuesday night, one. I told Brandy, I said, I ain't going back over. I ain't going to eat supper with them. I don't want nothing to do with it. She said, get out of that recliner. We're going back to church. What is that? That's the enemy. What is that that makes you? Because I told her, I said, I can't do nothing anyway. Ain't really going over. What makes you do? I may not talk to nobody. I'm just going to preach for myself tonight what God's gave me, and then you can just take what you want out of it. What makes you want to lay at home? The enemy. I'm the pastor of this church, and I was laying at home. I said, you and the kids can go. I'm not going back over there. I've not worked enough to even eat. That's our minds. You said, preacher, you crazy. Oh, no, no, no. That's what Satan will tell you. Don't even go over there. You ain't even put enough labor to even eat supper. Mind. Warfare. I thank God I got a wife that says, no, get up, we going. Praise God. Psalm 27, we're going to read a few verses, and I want to preach on this. I want to give you this tonight. I'm trying to get some of these in before I get back on Sunday morning. And this is the sermon. I want you to get where this is. We're going to preach on the confidence that we have in God, and this is my sermon before the surgery. I wrote this sermon on May the 13th, 2025, and I had open heart surgery on May the 16th. On May the 13th, I had no clue anything was going to go on. I hadn't even heard back from my stress test yet. It's on May the 13th. And the Lord had me here writing on having confidence in God. And I'm going to preach a little and I'm going to read a little of what I wrote down. A lot of times I don't read everything I have on the paper. It's just there for fillers if I need it. But tonight I want to preach to you what was on my heart before. Didn't you know nothing was going on? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And the Bible says in Psalm 27 and verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this, and here it is, will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let us pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you tonight. Father, I want to thank you tonight for Brother Cade tonight, Lord God, that he gave his life to you this morning. Lord, I thank you tonight, Father, that he called on your name. I thank you that Brother Riley took the King James Bible and showed him in it how to be saved, how to be born again, how to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And I thank you tonight that he called on your name. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless everyone real good. I pray tonight that you give us a good case of confidence tonight. Lord God, what we can hold on to tonight, that we can take out of this place, out into this lost world, Lord God. Lord, our confidence tonight relies only in Jesus. Lord, all of our confidence lies in God Almighty, in you, Father. And Lord God, we got confidence in that tonight, that the work that you began in us, you will complete it to that day. Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Lord, let me not preach in no other way but in love and compassion. Let me tell the truth the way you'd have it to be. Father, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come and we look at confidence in God, I see tonight that David, King David here, he was courageous and clear in his valley of fear. Even though he was in the valley of fear because of the mountain of faith that he had in God. David had confidence here because of the mountain of faith that he had in God. But in verse 3, he used a major word that we all need, and that is this simple little word, and it is confident tonight. He says in verse number 3 at the very end, he said, in this will I be confident. To be confident is this. That is to be secure or sure in something or someone. That you are secure or you have confidence or you have a security in something or someone. David was confident in God. Amen? Tonight, you and I are to be confident in God. You say, preacher, why must I have confidence in God? You must not waver in how you believe what God can do. You must not waver. You must not cower down. You must have confidence in what God can do in your life. I see in verse number 4, if you have confidence in God, it'll produce a desire for you to have for the Lord. It'll produce the desire of the Lord in your heart tonight. When you have confidence in Him and all your confidence is in God Almighty, it'll produce a desire inside of you, a desire like you've never seen. In verse number 4, the Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. There's what I'm talking about tonight. He said, in this I'll have confidence. Well, what is that confidence in? In the desires that he has. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You say, preacher, what is that the desire tonight of the psalmist here? What confidence that he had? He had confidence that he could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He didn't want to be on the outside looking in. He didn't care what position he had inside the church. He wanted to be in the house of the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I dwell in the house of the Lord? If it was up to you and I, we wouldn't dwell there at all. It's the desire that God puts on a man or woman, boy or girl, to be in the house of God and to do what God has called you to do. Tonight, I want you to look at this in verse number 5. Hey, to be able to dwell there, God's got to hide you there. I want to talk about hiding you in that place. Look what he says in verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Now, you got to remember, this is right before I go into open heart surgery. I'm writing this not even though I got a heart cath coming up. I'm writing this under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, asking him to speak, and what would I need for my people that he's given me here to pastor, not knowing it wasn't for you, but it was for me. That confidence that I have in God this afternoon, that confidence that I have, he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. I thank God that there's a place when you get in trouble that he can take you and he can hide you and he can cover you. He can put you in that place. And when the old devil and the old devourer that comes after you, he can't get you because God hides you there. He hides you in that place. Look in verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide thee in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. You said, preacher, what is that? He's going to hide you there. I wrote this down. Just be quiet. If you're going to hide out, you got to be quiet. Ryder loves to play hide and go seek. And here's his only problem, though. He wants to do the hiding and you do the seeking. But you know what his problem is? When he's hid for just a little while, he'll say, Ryder's in here, Ryder's in here, or Ryder's over there. He wants you to know where he's at. Friends, tonight, listen to me. Hey, when the devil's on your trails and he's got a pack of hounds on you and he's got you treed and God hides you out, don't you start telling the devil where God's got you. You get to that place and you dwell there with a desire that God has hid you in that place. I see not only will he hide you there, but he will set you there. You see, it's one thing to be hid there, but it's something else for him to set you there. Look in verse number 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. When God puts a desire in your life, he takes you to his house and he hides you there. He's going to give you a seat to sit in, and that seat is a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. When he gives you a seat, he gives you a place to sit. You can sit and have confidence that you're not alone because the rock is there with you. That rock this afternoon is nobody else than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You have confidence in God, it's going to produce a desire. You're going to be able to be hid. He's going to set you there. And when you get there, look in verse number 6, what you can do when you're dwelling in the house of the Lord and you get to that place and you have a desire for Him to hide you and set you up, you can sing praises there. You can sing praises there. And look what he says in verse number 6. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing. He said, when God puts that desire in your life and he hides you out and he sets you down and you're up on that rock, it won't be long. You'll have a song come upon you. You'll be able to sing your way out of the problems that are in your life. He said, I will sing. Yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I see when you dwell there, not only that, but there's mercy there. Look what he says in verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Psalm 51:1, the Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. You say, preacher, what do I get when I dwell in the house of the Lord? You will get the mercy of God when you're dwelling in his house. I see not only that's there, but salvation is there. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me. Oh, God. Man, have you ever been there? We say, oh, God, I need you. Woo! You're not taking his name in vain. You're just making sure he hears. Amen? You say, oh, God. Man, I'm in trouble. Oh, God, I need you. He said, what's there? Oh, God, my salvation. When he puts that desire in your life, you have confidence in him no matter what comes your way. You know that he's the one that's going to save you through it. I see that tonight, that when you get that confidence in your life and you get confidence in God, number one, it'll produce a desire for the Lord. But number two, you'll plead for the direction of the Lord. Now, when you get a desire and you want God to lead you, you'll start pleading for direction. You'll want to know where God wants you to go and where he'd have you to be. You want to go in the right, you want to go right where God would have you to be. You don't want to be in the wrong place, but you want to be in the right place. Child of God, listen to me this afternoon. A lot of folks never dwell in the house of God because they're not willing to stay there very long. Because dwelling means you got to be quiet. Dwelling means you got to sit there. Dwelling means you're going to have to rest. You're going to have to get to that place. You've got to sit down and let God move on your life. But it produces a pleading for direction of the Lord. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 11. Here's what the psalmist pled for. He said, I got confidence in God no matter what battle I face, no matter what comes my way. He's put a desire on my life. He's put a desire on my life. Does anybody else have a desire you know God's put on your life? He's put a desire on your life. Man, when I got up this morning praying, brother, I'm telling you what, I didn't know your name. I didn't know what was going on, Brother Cade. I didn't have a clue. All I know is this morning I was praying God to save somebody forever left home. Got up this morning at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning. I get to praying. Wednesday night I get to praying before we come to church. I pray somebody be saved. Somebody be born again. Somebody come to know Jesus. Somebody rededicate their life. Somebody get on fire. Somebody get something broke out of their life. I pray that every time before we come in into this building. You say, preacher, why do you pray that? Because I want God to do a work. He's put that desire on my life. He's put it on your life. And we want to see people set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You got confidence in him. You pray to him and you ask him. Brother, I didn't know you was going to walk that aisle, but I just prayed to God that somebody would. And this morning when we went to dismiss, I know everybody thought we was a bunch of crazy folks in here. I said, hey, we're going to stand up here. If you need somebody, you come on up. If you're lost, you come on up. You're one of many that come up, but I want you to know you was the one to come up for salvation. Man, I've seen people walk up through here, walk by, walk around, cut around. He's like, well, who is the one? He said, you done spoke out of turn, Pastor. Oh, no, you don't speak out of turn. You speak when God says speak. You listen when God says listen. You move when God says move. Why? Because he's put that desire on your life and you want to be led in the right direction. He said, you get mad when he went to Brother Riley? Well, Lord, no. He who waters don't mean nothing. He who plant don't mean nothing. The Bible said. Now, that's Detroit term. I'm sorry. You can go over to Corinthians, read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 3, read it yourself. But listen. The Bible says, he who waters ain't nothing. He who plants ain't nothing. But he who giveth the increase is God. This afternoon, you got to have a desire to say, I want to see people come to know Christ. The psalmist said here, my desire is that I follow Christ, and I want you to direct me in the way you want me to go, Father. Look here, if you will, with me in the direction of God. I want to show you this tonight. I'm going to be quick, I promise. In verse number 11, he says, he's pleading for direction. And here's the direction. Here's what the psalmist said, and it'd do us all good to do what he says here. He said, teach me thy way. He said, Lord, you teach me. I've got to be taught. I don't know enough to even get myself out of trouble. You've got to teach me how to go. He said, teach me thy way. Deuteronomy 6:5, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, preacher, what do I got to do? How do I got to get where God have confidence in God? You got to love him with everything you got. You can't half-hearted love him. You can't love him on Sunday and not love him the rest of the week. You got to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That means you got to be all in. You got to give everything you got to God. There's so many people that are struggling and they're straddling the fence and they don't want to give in and they don't want to give it to God. They come to church on Sunday. They come to church on Sunday night. They come on Wednesday, but they're not sold out to God. Friends, I want you to know, you'll know when a man or a woman or a child is sold out to God. It'll be in their speech. It'll be in their walk. It'll be in their talk. Teach me thy way. Teach me what I need to know, Father. Teach me. He said, don't only teach me though. He said, I'm looking for direction. But lead me. He said, Lord, teach me what you want me to know, but you're going to have to do the leading. Because I'm just a sheep and I'll go astray. Can I get a witness? Hey, I'm just a prodigal. Even though I'm saved, I'm still a prodigal. You know that prodigal, he was already the son. He was already a son of the father, but he was a prodigal. He's out there living in his own way, doing his own thing, but he still had a father back home. Go, uh-oh. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you what, he was walking up to and fro, didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. He done got out there, wasted all of his living, got to work. He was in want, but he was willing to go back to the Father. He was willing to go back. For instance, I don't want you to know this. Teach me, God. Teach me. I plead for direction. Teach me, but also lead me. Lead me. Folks, tonight, I don't know if you get anything out of this tonight, but it does me good. Teach me, but lead me. Look what he says here. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me. Here's what he said. Don't lead me in a crazy way. Lord, you know me. If you want, listen, God, you want me to follow you, it's going to be plain. You can't be throwing no curveballs. Y'all don't talk to him that way? Okay. Okay. I know where I come from, Lord. You're going to have to lay it out there. I can't be looking for two pigeons and three red birds and six squirrels to run across the road at the same time. And then somebody toot a horn, and then I know God spoke. I can't wait on all that. I run myself crazy. Y'all don't believe people live that way? Lord, I tell you what, if you want me to ask that person about Jesus, you send me three red birds at one time and two pigeons, and I'll talk to them about you. All you got to do is send me a sign. I'm looking for a sign. I got you a sign. His name's Jesus. I'm looking for a sign. I got you a sign. It's right there. It's the cross. It's the cross of Calvary. He said, I want you to teach me. He said, I've taught you. Love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he said, I'll lead you. And the psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me, Brother Jake, in what? A plain path. Lord, you can't. Listen, Lord. You're going to have to make it plain. This old boy got to have it plain. I can't. I got to have it plain. You got to show me what to do. I got to have it plain. Brother David Barnes, you got to have it plain. I know. Me and you just alike. We got to have it plain. But tell me the truth now, Lord. Tell me the truth, preacher. But give it to me plain. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to pat me over here. Just tell me plain. He said, show me the plain path because of my enemies. He said, if you don't show me the plain path, I'll run right into them. If you don't lead me directly where I need to go, Father, I won't go in the right way. He said, lead me in the plain path. Let me give you this. The plain path is this. It's a straight path. A plain path is a straight path. Matthew 7:14, the Bible says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That way also means path or road. To lead me in a plain path is straight. To lead me in a plain path, it would be sure. I would know God's path and not mine. I would know his way and not my way. See, if I chose my way, it wouldn't be God's way. Oh, no. If I chose my way, I wouldn't do things the way God does it. See, I got to follow his path, though. I got to follow his way. It's a straight path. It's a sure path. And can I say the path that he'll lead you on? Please get this. It's a safe path. Child of God, there's no danger on the plain path. There's no danger on the plain path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're all going through that valley of the shadow of death one day. But you ain't going through it alone. Lead me in a plain path. That means it's safe. He ain't put you on that path. He said, preacher, if you knew the path I was on, it's pretty rough. If he's with you, it's safe. If you're on the right path, you know it. You know it's safe. You know it's good. Brandy was mowing the other day, and I was sitting up there watching her. Ryder's got a 24-volt little four-wheeler. And she went down there down in the bottom where she was bush hogging with a lawnmower. Praise. Yeah. Anyway. Can I just give y'all one? Won't charge you nothing for it. Kaylee come home and she said, Daddy, don't you tell Mama, but she run your deer feeder over, knocked it down, busted it, corns everywhere. I said, what'd she hit it with? Yo, new lawnmower. I said, that thing ain't even got 20 hours on it. It looks like it's 90 year old. I've told that 100 times. I said, are you serious? She said, you better not mention a word. I said, I ain't saying nothing. I'm sitting there in my recliner. She comes home and said, baby, I got it mowed and it looks good. Really? Yeah. About 2 hours later, she says, you going to go over and look at it? I'm thinking, when are we going to the deer feeder? You know what I'm saying? I said, yeah, let's go look at it. We didn't go on a plain path. We went every which way you could. Finally, look at her grinning. Finally, we pulled up. She said, you know that deer feeder down there? I said, yeah. She said, it was old anyway. I said, but it was still usable. She said, I caught that thing on the side of that lawnmower, knocked it down, that thing fell, and corn went everywhere. And a dead coon was in there. She said, you can get another one. It'll be just fine. So I'm talking about a plain path is safe. We told Ryder, I said, we got trails through the woods. We told him, so you take that four-wheeler, but you just stay right here. Telling a three-year-old to do that, it's about like telling a new Christian, don't get off too far. Come on now, talk to me. Telling that's about what I'm telling you right now, going in one ear and out the other. A couple weeks, you're going to be in. I always have to live what I preach on Sunday. And I was sitting up there under the shade tree, Brother Cullen. He knows what I'm talking about. Brother Rod, you know what I'm talking about over on Oak Road. He's sitting on that shade tree, an old big one. Couldn't do nothing, just sitting there. And I heard Brandy down there in that field hollering, Ryder! Ryder! I said, oh, my goodness. What has he done now? He's supposed to stay on that one path and not get off. Ryder! I said, I might as well go down there. I took off. I got where she is at. I said, where's he at? She said, he went down through that trail, off through that old junk. I said, I'll go down there and see where he's at. Wonder how many times God is like that with us. He said, I've got it so plain. It's safe. It's mowed down for you. Stay here. Don't go over there. You don't need to be in the briars and the bushes. You need to be right here. It's clean. Why would you want to climb under the pews? You can play right here. So I went down that trail. When I got down through there, I kicked the left, Brother Eric. And there's a stump there. He had, right in the middle of the trail. He had hit that thing with that four and flipped it over. And I got to where he's at, and he had tears running down his face. I said, boy, what's wrong with you? You not hear your mama hollering for you? He said, yeah, Daddy, but I couldn't get back. I couldn't get it turned over. I said, what was you doing down here? Here's what he said. I said, what was you doing down here? You wasn't going to whoop him. You know how we are. Wasn't going to whoop him. Wasn't going to whoop him. I'd like to whoop him, but I wasn't going to whoop him. I said, what was you doing down here? He said, I just wondered where it was going. I just wondered where it went. There's so many people in here tonight. There's roads you're on in life that you ain't supposed to be on, and you're just wondering where they're going to go. You just wondered who you can be friend. They just look nice. They look friendly. They look cool. I just think I'd just run with them for a little while. Then you find yourself over in the left field. And God said, you need to get over here on this plain path. It's safe. It's secure. Nothing won't hurt you here. But when you're on that path and you're following the Lord and all of a sudden you get off because you're just wondering where it's going to go. He said, preacher, what will it do? If he's going to teach you, you better let him lead you. Because when he teaches you the right way to go and you don't let him lead you, you're accountable. When he showed you the right path and you choose your own path, you're accountable for what you're going to do. The Bible says in the book of Romans, at one time he winked at sin. He winked at it, but no more. They did it out of ignorance, but no more. Nobody in this room's got an excuse, no more. You know and I know that when God sets us on that straight path, We need to follow her. He said, teach me, O Lord. Lead me, O Lord. But let me give you this in verse number 12. He said, not only will you please teach me and lead me, but please deliver me. Look at verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He said, I want to be delivered from my enemies. I want to be delivered from false witnesses. Deliver me from their breath. You're talking about close. When their breath is on you, it's close. That's when you are dwelling with the Lord. And here's what I want to preach tonight. When you have confidence in God, number one, it's going to produce a desire for the Lord. It's also going to produce a pleading for direction to go the right way. But when you get to the place that you have confidence in God and you know He's going to answer, it produces patience. Get this. It produces patience during the delay of the Lord. 3 days before my surgery. It produces patience while you're waiting on God during His delay. Do you know God delays and don't answer your prayers sometime just because He knows He don't need to? Because sometimes we'll take it in our own hands. Look what He says, if you will, with me in verse number 14. Read this with me, this verse, please. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. What will He strengthen? 3 days. 3 days. And here's what I wrote. Wait on the Lord. While I'm waiting, be of good courage. And this is what I usually wouldn't preach. I just move on through this. But here's something else I wrote. Don't complain. 3 days before He asked me, could He trust me? Don't complain. I wrote this down, Brother Kevin. Don't be a squall bag. That's what I wrote down. I got it wrote down here. Because God's going to strengthen me. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Turn with me there if you will. Psalm 37:7. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:7. The Bible says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Wait. It produces patience during the delay. When you have confidence in God, you know He's going to answer. You just got to wait. You just got to wait. Who in here likes to wait? Nobody. That's why you go to McDonald's. That's why you go to Taco Bell. That's why you go to Walmart. The cashier ain't fast enough. You can get in your own line. Check your own self out. We're in a world nobody likes to wait. And not only do we not like to wait on the things of this world, but we don't like to wait on God. And you know what that gets us? That gets us in trouble. Isaiah 40, in verse number 28, the Bible says, has thou not known? Talking about waiting on God. He said, do you not know? Do you not have a clue? Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not? Nothing don't catch Him off guard. He don't faint. Neither is He weary. You faint. Everybody in this room does. We get to the place where we're like, Lord, I don't know if You're going to answer or not. And we give up. He don't give up. We all in this room get weary. Brother said this morning, Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Brother Charles, you're in a season. I'm in a season. Sister Kim, you're in a season with your knee. We're all in seasons in this room. Brother Lee, you're in a season right now. Don't you grow weary. I know I'm preaching to the choir because I'm there, okay? You ain't supposed to pick that up. Man, I'm so tired of hearing you. You ain't supposed to pick that up. You know what I'm saying? That's too heavy. Brother Lee, can I get a witness? And you grow weary in the walk. You don't grow weary in God. You grow weary in the season that He's got you in. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're a little weary. Let me give you this. He don't grow weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Brother Lee, you got power, man. You got power. Brother Charles, you got power tonight, son. Tap into it. Sister Kim, you got power over that knee. Tap into it. I'm talking to other people that's got sickness or got whatever, mental, whatever you got. I don't know what you got, but God's given you power over it. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So it don't matter if you're old, young, in between, or all the above. Wait on God. If you're weary tonight, wait on God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Keep your confidence in God. It will produce a desire, a direction, and it will even produce patience in your life while you're waiting on God. I want things now. I hate waiting. I don't like it. I don't like waiting at a red light. I don't like it. I can't stand going behind somebody running 40, 30. I can't stand it. No matter what the speed limit is, I can't stand it. Had Brother Cagle in the truck with me the other day. We was coming down this road. Me, him, and CJ, I think. Or somebody, Frank. I was running 55. I said, what's the speed limit? He said, 40. I said, God. I thought I was close, but I didn't know I was way over. I don't like waiting. But in the last 9 weeks, God has taught me a valuable lesson. Valuable. Have confidence in him. Wait. Wait. Let your desire, Brother Cade, got saved this morning. Let all your desire be on God. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself. Dwell with you. Tonight I'm talking to somebody. Let all your desire be on God. Let him direct you. And while you're waiting, just trust God. Trust him. That's hard to do, ain't it? But can I say, he knows what's better for you than you know. He knows what's better. I tell them guys all the time at Broken Lives, they think they're in a bad place, and I tell them all the time, I said, it's better here than Ott's Funeral Home. You think this is bad? You think listening to preaching's bad? You think the singing's bad? You think the air conditioning's bad? You think things is bad? It can get a whole lot worse. When you don't follow the path God has for you in your life, it can get a whole lot worse. I was kidding with Brother Bradley a while ago. We was coming out of the back there. And I told this morning that we're all sport rotten, got it made. We got it made. We got it made. And I throwed a joke at him. It ain't a joke, it's on TV. He said, you want to borrow $200,000? All you got to have is a credit report of 490. Who's going to lend him $200,000 at 490 credit report? That means he ain't going to pay it back. That's the world we've been taught in. It has slipped into the church. You're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. You get saved, you ain't got to do nothing else. You heaven bound, don't worry about it. You don't even have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to do nothing. You just saved. Listen to me. Faith without works is dead. That's what James says. I know he's not talking about the root, but he's talking about the fruit. The Bible says straight is the way, narrow is the gate. And very few find the way. As your pastor tonight, I want you to be on the straight path. I do, the plain path. I worry about you. I worry about your relationship with Christ. I worry about my relationship with Christ. And tonight, I want you to put your confidence in God. Let him lead you this week. Let him guide you this week. That's the world we live in, though, folks. Nothing's required back. Nobody's ever told no. Nobody's ever told they can't. And when no comes to their plate, they don't accept it as an answer. They keep going till they get the yes that they want. Tonight, do you know no is an answer too? And tonight, I'm going to leave you with this. God may be telling somebody tonight no. You may have been asking him for something tonight, and he's been telling you no. Tonight, you have confidence in God. He's got your best interest at hand. He's not against you. He is for you. He is for you. When I laid over at Tupelo, Brother Eric, and all the dust had cleared and everybody got gone before he took us in, I told Brandon, I said, you think they got the wrong test? I said, I know it's got my name on it. I know all this, but I feel pretty good. They're a whole lot smarter than I am. Y'all know what I'm saying. They doctors. They don't get to do that. I got a knife, but you don't want me cutting on you. I mean, I got a knife. Brother McKay, I got a knife, but you don't want me cutting on you. It don't work. You got to know how to use that knife. And I asked her another question. Do you think we should get a second opinion? She said, no. You just need to lay there and trust God. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Listen to me. You don't need a second opinion. That book's all you need. And it tells you tonight to wait on the Lord, and He'll strengthen you. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you tonight.